Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Kubal. Today, I have me a very special guest, Derek Warren. Derek, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good yourself.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Feels good. Have a little rest in my day to talk to somebody that, does what I do and loves what I love. It's a nice
Get
little
to talk
break.
shop.
So, yeah, exactly. I'm like, I haven't done it in like a week. So I have like you, I have a couple people tomorrow. So it's kind of nice just to get to take a break in a crazy day and talk about some books and some writing and some fun stuff because I love everybody I work with, but not a lot of authors here. So it's like when I teach, right? I love talking to teachers. When I do martial arts, I love talking to martial artists, but it's nice to get to talk to book people. I feel like book people are few and far between, right? Seems like everybody's writing a book, but in your everyday life, like how many times do we run into each other physically? Like, so it's nice to have the podcast. And my wife, she goes, makes you feel like you're not alone, right? I'm like, God, right? So,
I
but I'm
actually
so
just
glad I
ran
can have
into
you
an
on today.
author the other day that
Oh, that's awesome.
lives not too far from me, and he was
Okay.
actually in town for a show that I didn't even know was happening.
Oh,
And
that's
I saw
cool.
his trailer outside of a restaurant. So I pulled in the parking lot and I messaged him. I'm like, "Are you at a Tim Hortons right now?" Also, I'm from Canada. Anyone wondering? I'm in Canada, so we have Tim Hortons. And he goes, "No, I'm in the Chucks." So I walk in and I see the girl at the front table and she goes, "Oh,
Oh, that's
can I
funny.
seat you?" I go, "Well, actually, there's a really famous author in here. I see him right over there. I'm gonna go say hi." And so I came up behind him, put my hands on his shoulders. I'm like, "Are you the famous author, Richard H. Stevens?" He's like, "Oh, it's
Oh, that's
you."
funny. That's awesome.
So.
Where I'm at, like, never seen anybody. I think JCM Byrne,
Okay.
James Lloyd Dulin are, I'm like Central New York. So they're like
Okay.
the ones that are kind of closest to me. C.L. Snyder's pretty close to me, about 3 hours. I know like R.R. Verdi's not too far from me, I think like 5.5. We talked about forming what I call the East Coast Avengers.
Gotcha.
That's just like my going title. So in the future, we're gonna try and we talked about, trying to get together at different stuff. I'm actually going to PAX actually this weekend.
Oh,
So
very
I'm really
nice.
excited. Yeah, hopefully I run into Chris Perkins on Sunday. Matt Mercer is going to be popping out of there quick on Friday.
Ah,
So I
fun.
think I'm going to make him, and Ashley Johnson's going to be there too. But they're heading to the live Critical Role. But I was like, "Is anybody going?" And then nobody replied. So I was
No.
like, "All right, I'll just have fun with my
One
family."
day. One
Yeah,
day.
exactly. Yep. Well, we'll talk about that first question. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
I actually wrote my first book from start to finish when I was 14 years old, which is actually
Oh,
this one
wow.
here, The Ultimate Agent.
Oh, wow.
I was kind of spitballing with a friend one night, and I said, like I was super into superheroes that time. And I said, what if there was a spy that had abilities or just,
Oh,
someone
that's
with
cool.
superpowers that, would be sent on spy missions. And that's what kind of birthed The Ultimate Agent. So it's very Marvel meets 007, but good for kids. Like, I don't put sexual content or swearing in my book, so I want the whole family to enjoy it. And that kind of started everything off. I end up writing the whole trilogy from the age of 14 to 17, 18. And then later in life is when I rewrote everything. And I wanted to just make it a bit more mature because obviously at 14, I didn't know what I was doing. But later in life, you learn more about character and people. So I was able to actually put some guts into the characters and really
Oh.
bring them to life a lot more. I actually had a lot more fun doing one of the characters more than I thought I would because he's kind of like a different version of the Hulk, where he's actually his brain is put into the body of what I call a tiger shark, and it's literally a tiger with shark appendages. I kind of get into like
Oh, that's
genetic
cool.
splicing and stuff like that. So he kind of gets stuck in the body, but it's like that Hulk kind of, or the Thing, I guess you could say, where he's kind of
Oh,
like,
yeah.
this change has happened. How do I handle that? So it
Yeah.
was fun to dive into him later in life and just be
Oh,
like,
that's
oh
cool.
man,
Yeah.
So
That's
yeah.
super cool. Oh,
But,
that's awesome.
later in that series, I introduced a bit of time travel, which then allowed me to write my Dino Riff series, which has been my flagship book. It's pulled in the most for me. It's amazing how many
Oh,
people still love dinosaurs. I'm very grateful that
wow.
Jurassic Park and Jurassic World has kept the love of dinosaurs
Oh,
alive, which was a big influence for these books, plus Dinotopia, if anyone knows that reference.
Oh yeah, classic,
But
classic.
yeah, so it's been up and down here and there. I mean, there's been times and years where I have creative burnout, but I think that happens to everybody at some point. And thankfully, I was able to finish writing my newest book, Primeval Ranch. I had started it before 2023, and then that whole year, I would open up my laptop or a document, and my brain's just going, "Nope, see ya, not doing this."
Yeah.
And as soon as 2024 hit, I finished writing it from January to April
Oh,
somehow.
wow.
And now it's out for the world.
No, that's awesome. That's really cool. I definitely get the burnout. I've been doing a lot of work. I have a future 2-year-old soon. So he's getting there. And I'm like, my wife's like, are you okay? I was like, I am. Do you want to go right? I'm like, I'm just so tired. It's like, we're doing a lot to overhaul things for our kids. It's my second year in this program. And it's just like, I was just like, I don't know what to say. I was like, I'm just tired. And like taking an author, like I'm trying to do all these things at a higher level than I've done before for craft. And it's like, it's just taken a lot longer than I thought. I had stuff that I thought was okay. And I had a great development editor in Sarah Chorn help me out in a bind. And I had like Logan D. Irons and like H.L. Tinsley for alpha readers. And thank God, like I tell get yourself a good team, people. That's what I have to say.
That's
Like
true.
I was
I
so
agree.
lucky. Right. Yeah. Like through this podcast, you were like, well, what's the best thing that's happened? I'm like, I found those three that helped me out in a bind, and like helped me with craft. And it's just taking longer, but I feel like that's fine because I'm just like, oh, instead of just putting out what I thought was going to be like a pretty good story, I'm actually turning it into something real, if that makes sense. So, but the burnout is definitely real because I'm like, some days I'm just like, this is my fifth draft. And I'm just like, I can't even like look at you anymore. I can't look at you, I definitely get that. And it makes me feel good to hear you say that, Derek, because sometimes people feel like you feel like you're the only one, you're like, oh, everybody else is pumping out this stuff, but we don't really talk about that, and people, it's almost like you get shunned for talking about it, right? Or that it's really negative, or I don't know, in certain circles. I don't know. I just, people like my son, like we were at NICU and my wife, like we had no idea how many of our friends, their kids were at NICU too. And it was like, nobody talked about it, So I feel like that's kind of how it is for authors, when we're struggling. Like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes we don't talk about it enough, but I think that's part of the journey too, right? So
I know
I just think,
authors that haven't published anything in like 5 years,
that's a
but they're
great.
still hanging out on Facebook, still on TikTok. As long as you're keeping yourself, your face out there, and it's just kind of showing that you're not just sitting back doing nothing,
It's
But
so funny that you said that because I was just thinking about that last night. Like I have a couple of friends that are working on stuff, but I told my wife, I'm like, if I can get to a point 5 years from now where I can accumulate certain things, I'm like, you don't even realize. I was like, even if you finish stuff, right? Like finish your prequel trilogy or duology, you could just sell those things, right? Because you have that backlog. So I think, and as long as you're working on something, right? But I think you need that, that backlog definitely helps. So it's funny that you just said that because I just talked about it last night with her. So that's really funny.
Totally.
But
And I find it's helped because, like you mentioned, the backlog, all my books live in the same universe. So I
Oh, cool.
have references to my Ultimate Agent series in the DynaRift
Oh, that's
series.
cool.
So if you're a longtime reader of mine, you can be like, hey, I remember when that happened or this or that. But you don't
That's
have
cool.
to read the superhero series to understand Dinosaur series. But yeah, so it's kind of like people read the bits and then say if they start asking questions like, oh, what does he mean by that? And then they go back to my Amazon store and be like, oh, he's got more stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's
It's
kind of
like the
like my
best way to
way.
advertise.
I was hoping so, yeah.
Yeah,
But it's
yeah.
very
I love
Marvel,
that.
like everything's connected.
Yeah, yep, yeah. I love that, man. Like I've read things, where I'm like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, Like I had James Logan on for the Silver Blood Promise, and I was saying to my friend, we're also reading Lies of Locke Lamora for book club. I was like, dude, I'm really sure that he like read Scott Lynch first, and then I didn't even ask him because I'm thinking, oh, that's a dumb question, So I was interviewing James, and he's like, oh yeah, I read Scott Lynch, and he's like, I got these ideas, and it made me think of this, and I was told my friend, I got right off my best friend, I go, I told you, I was right, and he's like, really cool. So it's kind of different, but it's cool, right, to see those roots. I love when an author does that. I love the Marvel. I love that you can have these Easter eggs from different things, and if you I don't know, I love those nods to longtime fans. Star Wars, I think, regardless of whatever you want to say, I think that the nods at least to fans have been Indiana Jones, I think the last one too was a they had a lot of different nods and stuff if you were paying attention. So I in books, I just think it's fun. It's a good time. So
And
that's
then
really cool that
even
you're
like
doing that.
the sequel to Dino Rift, which is called Sword Core Salvation, this one here, the very last chapter, I actually call my end credit scene. I literally have it written as end credit scene, not just like epilogue.
Oh, that's
And
cool.
I kind of did my own version of like a Nick Fury type scene when he
Oh,
walks in
that's
on Tony
cool.
Stark kind of thing,
That's cool.
where it's like, hey, I know you just basically came out with this technology that can, you know, take people across possibly like universes, and I need to get someone home. And I just left it at that. So I
That's
had
so
tons of readers be like, what does this mean? And
cool. That's
I'm
such
like,
a
you got
cool
to read my
idea.
other books to understand.
Oh, that is awesome. This is why I tell people, they're like, you've already done like how many interviews? What more is there out there? I'm like, I have learned so much from season four, and that's like just such a great example. That's really cool though. That's really neat. This is also why I stress to our audience, if you're not talking to other creatives or authors or people that do what you want to do, like you're really missing out. 'Cause I never would have thought of that. That's And I love that Marvel did that. Like I stick around, you know, an
Oh
extra
yeah.
hour after the credits, right?
Some of them are
For that.
worth it. Other times you're
Now it's like a ritual,
like,
right?
yeah.
My friend and I, like, we always wait now, and I'm glad we waited for like the D&D movie. Like they weren't exactly earth-shattering, but they were fun. But that's like our movie ritual now, right? My wife's like, what took you so long? I'm like, we had to wait for the credits and stuff.
And then when you
Just
go
can't
see
look
a
it up
movie that isn't
online.
Marvel, you're still sitting there like, oh yeah, wait, this isn't a Marvel movie.
I remember, man, Daredevil. When we went, or the Ben Affleck one, Jennifer Garner, like I remember, like
Oh yeah.
I wanted to wait. I was like, I just have a feeling, and my friend goes, "What are you talking about?" And then we got to school the next day, and they're like, "Man!" And I think that was literally like a Sunday, and then it was Monday. Everybody was saying that, so I think we literally went by like Thursday night and watched it again and stayed around. So I love that, like people do that now. I think it's just cool, but I think that's
Wasn't it in that
awesome
movie?
that,
Was it Bullseye? You realize Bullseye isn't.
Bullseye,
Yeah, right.
It was super cool. But I think that's so
That
cool that
takes me
you
back.
applied that. Yeah, I know, right? I think it's so cool that you applied that to books, though. There's so many things that I think a lot of us would never think to do for other media, right? And I think that's why it's important to study other, you know, media and outlets, and ways to do that, because there's a lot of cool things like that.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
if I'm reading, I'm like, that's super cool. So that gets me wanting to read the next book like right off the bat. So
And I
kudos
tell
there.
people too, like, if you read my Ultimate Agent series first, you're gonna see what ties into Dino Rift. Because there's the one, I actually did six novellas between the first and second book once
Oh,
I
cool.
started doing my rewriting. I actually wanted to explore a line in the second book I wrote that was, we took down a lot of bad guys in the last 6 months. So I kind of went, okay, what if I always love like Bigfoot and stuff like that, and just cryptids in general. So I
Oh,
actually
yeah.
did what's called the Helios Files, where they come across like Bigfoot, the Mothman, Loch
Oh,
Ness
that's cool.
Monster. By the time they get to the Loch Ness Monster, that really introduced like time rifts for me.
Oh, that's cool.
And I made basically the Loch Ness Monster is a time-displaced dinosaur.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which then made me go, what if a couple teenagers were thrown through like a time rift into prehistoric times and have to find their way home? But meanwhile, they're trying to figure out like their true feelings for each other. But they also come across a woman that's searching for her lost father kind of thing. And it just kept going, like spitballing and growing from there. And it was just so much fun to really dive into Dino Rift finally. Having loved Jurassic Park for years, Michael Crichton still has stuff they're, you know, finding on his in his files that other authors are finishing, right? Like Eruption was just finished by James Patterson, and I haven't dived into that yet, but it's on my TBR.
I'm trying to go
So
through at some point for like a reread for Jurassic Park and Timeline,
it's
because I
all the
read
same
them
here.
way too long ago. I think it was like middle school. I think it was in eighth grade, like between eighth grade and ninth grade or something.
Way better than movies.
I think just like genius, right? Didn't he do Eaters of the Dead too?
He
Like that's a
did. And you
Victorious
know what
movie.
book I really wish would become a movie is Prey.
Oh
Prey was
yeah,
so good.
I didn't even think of that. That was a really good
The
one.
nanotechnology gone wrong.
Oh man,
So before his time, you know?
Well, I also want them to do Dinotopia again too. Like I love
Ah,
the science
yes.
or whatever, but like I feel like now, like there's such a, I feel like they would be doing an amazing job. They made a TV show. I think it would just be like absolutely stellar. Have you seen like the Dinosaur Knights or whatever, like the epic fantasy where they, instead of having dragons, they have dinosaurs?
I have not.
Oh, I have to send you. It's like I can't remember, it's Dino Lords or Dinosaur Lords. It's like Dinosaur Knights, but it's amazing. I bought it off
Oh, isn't that
Amazon.
Amazon Prime?
can't
Oh no,
remember.
the Ark, the video game, I think has a cartoon that was on Amazon Prime or something like that, or maybe
Oh yeah,
Paramount.
these are like the, I don't know if they're the same thing. I just remember like it was like 4 years ago before the pandemic, and I was like, oh, these are really cool, like epic fantasy looking books. I think the fourth one just
Oh,
came
I
out,
see.
and I have them, but I haven't bought it yet. But I'll send it to you because it was just like such a cool idea. I was like, oh, I
I've
love
probably seen
knights,
it
love
before. I just never
dinosaurs.
bought them. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. But my friend was saying that I guess the author, which I'm totally blanking. I don't know, allegedly, like rumor was they had gotten approached or something for a TV show, and I was like, oh my God, that'd be so cool. My friend's like, what's it like? I was like, it's like Knights of King Arthur meets
Oh, that'd
Dinotopia.
be
And he
awesome.
was like,
Yeah.
dude, yeah, he's like, how would that not sell? I was like, exactly. And then
Yeah,
all of a
yeah.
sudden, now you have the Jurassic Park and world and all these other things that have come out. I was like, oh my God, it's like be the total time, to do
Yeah.
that TV show.
And I
But
think there's
yeah.
been a bit of a dinosaur renaissance
Yeah,
because, like,
that's a
I
way to
just
put it.
finished reading a book by Victoria Rivera called Raptoriva, and it's
Oh,
basically like an
okay.
alternate universe kind of thing where the dinosaurs never died, but meteors did still hit Earth. But what's really cool is humans figured out a way to use these kind of mystical meteor dust to control the dinosaurs if need be.
That's cool.
But every year there's what's called, like, it's kind of like Hunger Games meets Jurassic Park, where in order to have a victor, they have to go through like the whole prehistoric forest and like the
Oh,
wilderness and
that's
everything
cool.
like that. But everyone's like out to get each other so they can actually become the winner at the end. And it's actually really
Neat.
well done.
That sounds really cool.
I think she's either two or three books deep into that series now.
Okay, I'm going to
But
check that out. That sounds awesome.
yeah, it was really good.
I never would have thought. See, that's like I when you're saying that, like I never would have thought of that. Like there was a couple things like sci-fi wise recently. Like I really liked the I can't remember what it, my friend. I really liked J.R. Wise and I were talking about Galaxy's Edge, right? Like Jason Anok and his co-author, and I just loved like one of the books. I thought, oh, it'd be really cool to do like a that like military type sci-fi with like a small D&D group style, like Firefly, but then have aliens be some of the crew, and then but then like somebody the other day was like, I talked to so many sci-fi authors recently or different subgenres. I'm like, God, that's just like super cool. I'm like thinking of dinosaurs. Remember, like there was like. I think it was the game Brutus for Xbox, and there was like a dinosaur dude that you can play as, like this alien. It was so cool, but I'm pretty sure if I remember the storyline right, though, like he was the alien is talking at some point, and he just kind of throws something out there, right? And he's like, "Oh yeah, like like basically says right that his species created dinosaurs, and you know what I mean? It was just so such a small thing in the overall." Of the game, but I remember that character. I'm like, God, that was so cool. Like, and then it got me thinking, right? Like, so that's the kind of book that I think I'd really enjoy because it just, I don't know, it gets me thinking about
Yeah,
different
that
things
sounds
and
fun.
how to put different pieces together. Real quick though, like why fantasy or sci-fi? Like why dinosaurs? Why mash these things together? Like
Honestly, ever since I was young, I just always loved anything sci-fi. I'm not a big like magic paranormal type guy. So basically my whole universe is grounded in, I just wanted to be more sci-fi. Which even when it came to the cryptids that I did in my Ultimate Agent series, none of it comes from any paranormal source. It's
Oh,
all,
interesting.
how would this fit in from a genetic standpoint?
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, I made Bigfoot more of a government experiment gone wrong.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I also have, at one point, the one of the novellas is the Kraken Files. So it's like another experiment gone wrong where it basically
That's
created
awesome.
this massive octopus that they're like, it's pretty much a Kraken at this point, and we need your help to take it down.
Oh, that's interesting. That's
So,
super cool.
yeah, just fun stuff like that. And even like there's a minotaur in it that, have you
Oh,
ever
that's
seen
neat.
those Schwarzenegger cows?
Oh,
Where they're like huge, big, bulky, muscular. I'm like, what would happen if someone took the genetics of that and tried to make, like, meld it with humans? You would probably get something like a minotaur.
That's super cool. I agree though. I think I'm like I compartmentalize. I used to love sci-fi and then like so much, and then I got into I think Star Wars was like my connector into fantasy. And then when I got to middle school, I was reading more like fantasy. And now I just like everything. I just don't like fiction by itself because I am a teacher and I deal with so much garbage with, like not just the job, like even like just with like stuff that my kids have to deal with. I'm just like, oh my God, they're kids, So the last thing I want to do is have to go home and, in my media, consume more of the same, right? I want to be taken out and just have a break, right? So I think It's just cool to have a break, but
Have
it's
the
interesting because,
fantastical aspects. Yeah.
but my friend, she's like, you like sci-fi and fantasy? I'm like, it's all just otherworldly to me, you know,
Yeah.
like just gives you something cool to think about. But yeah, I think it's neat, but I think it's cool the aspect that you took with that more with the science. You, my urban fantasy, I do that a little bit more, like explain, right, that these are organisms. I have like the others, so I have like certain people that, or like certain like ogres, right? I have ogres, but they're actually just different species. They're from a different
Okay.
world, and you really it's a different dimension, really, even. But they like have been here for, there's a few that have been here for a long time. They make all these stories, right? Like I have Bigfoot, but a lot of times they get described as Bigfoot
Right.
with different myths, and that's where the fantasy come from. So I just think it's interesting. Kind of both did the same thing, but differently, if that makes sense. So
Right.
I always find
Yeah.
it interesting because I tell people, I'm like, it'd be cool if you and I wrote the same story, gave each other the same
Yeah,
outline,
right.
and then wrote a story. I want to do this one time, right? I
Yeah.
want to come on the podcast, be like, okay, this is what we're writing the story about. Discuss that just a little bit, right? Answer questions for each other and be like, it's the same story, same name, character, same description. And then we go and write a story. They're going to be completely different, right?
Oh, of
And I
course.
think that would be such a cool way to show that, right? Even if they're both just
Right.
short stories. But it's interesting, right, that each of us kind of takes that differently. So I think that's
Yeah.
cool with like the Minotaur and stuff. Like that's really neat. So I have
And I
to see
always
how
wanted to make it that, they were appropriate for the whole family. Like I
yeah.
have, when it comes to the Bigfoot stuff in my books, it's more like it wasn't just one person. Like there was actually quite a few people that were involved in this.
Oh,
And
interesting.
then over time, they actually have like a little small society, basically, that live
Oh,
in
that's cool.
all the different states where there's usually been Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah.
And
Makes
to the point where in the book where they actually meet Bigfoot, he has a son.
Oh,
So
that's
there's like the
cool.
next generation. And I've always had this idea that I want to do at some point Bigfoot wanting to enter our society.
Oh, that's cool. That's
So
like
it's kind
that
of like a
movie that
young
they had. It
adult.
was so cool. Did
Yeah.
you see that? Like, it was, I forget what, I saw the sequel. It's like, I forget, but
Was it
they
anime?
did like a cartoon. Well, they did like a
Okay.
cartoon on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I saw the, my son just pointed it out, and I was like, okay. And then I didn't realize it was like a sequel. But
Okay.
that's what it was like, he's an experiment gone wrong. And then he has a son who gets like half his powers or whatever. But like, it was like really good. But I like science fiction wise, I just threw it out and I was like, ah, whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
It was like super cool. And it'd be like a really, really good story. So yeah, you should check it out because it was really neat.
Oh,
They
is that
gave
the
a lot of,
Ultraman?
oh, no, I forget. I'll have to look it up. It's in my
Okay.
queue. I'll have to
Yeah.
send it to you. But it was like really cool though. It's like exactly what you're talking about, but it's really cool. But it brought so many societal questions. You know, and like, how would people take somebody like this? Would they see them as
Right.
a human? You know, when he was the guy in the movie, like, was human and then got the DNA of a Bigfoot, like, put into him in an experiment gone wrong. But it was just so interesting. But then he has his son, and then it's like also how he's treated. And I was like, dang, it really like made you like think, right? Kind of like that
Yeah.
X-Men vibe, you know?
Right.
And even though it was like a kid's movie, like, they did us like a really good job, like, with acceptance and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. It was just, I would recommend it though. It was really cool from a writer's standpoint. I was like, it was like a really good movie. It
Yeah.
was really interesting. Yeah, I think that just sounds really neat though. In terms of just like, you know, maybe like the Dino Riff series in general, like, how would you sell that, or how do you normally pitch that to your audience?
So my pitch usually is a couple of teenagers decide to be reckless for a night and they go to their local museum, but they don't realize that that museum called Soracor actually is hiding a time rift underneath the building.
Awesome.
So they do break in, thanks to the lady that's searching for her lost father, because she's kind of gone somewhat undercover just to get in. And then where she thinks she's heading is actually straight to the time rift.
Oh, that's cool.
And so once the company finds them, they're like, hey, you've seen this. You can't go back into society. And they just toss them through. It's like their garbage disposal.
That's crazy.
But at the same time, this evil corporation is also pulling dinosaurs into the present for nefarious purposes, right? So it's kind of like that whole Jurassic Park, oh, we can make dinosaurs, but should we? And then there's, oh, we can pull dinosaurs out of the past to the present, but there's maybe a couple characters that have a change of heart and are going, should we really be doing this?
Oh, that's really cool. How'd you come up with this type of story? Like, I'm just curious because that's like a really like
It's a lot
cool
of different elements of
detail.
stuff because you've got like kind of the Jurassic Park element, you've got the Dinotopia, which I write dinosaurs a bit differently than what we normally see in content these days.
Cool.
I also really loved that show Primeval,
Oh yeah.
which, yeah, it was like the BBC version and then the
That was a good
Canadian
one.
version. That was a
Yep.
great show. So it kind of has aspects of all that, but then I, again, with the YA perspective, because you don't really see too much of kids in prehistoric times. I mean, you've got Jurassic Park that did Camp Cretaceous, which is all on Netflix, where it's kids that got stuck on the island once everything went down in Jurassic World, which I love
My
that
kids
it's
like
all
it.
canon. I
My
love
kid's
the show
addicted to
too.
that show.
Yeah, it's
It's
awesome. And now that
hilarious.
Chaos Theory's out, the first two seasons, that was cool. But yeah, I loved dinosaurs since I was a kid and just wanted to show dinosaurs in a new light and also use creatures that we actually haven't seen in, because we're always seeing T-Rex, Raptors, Triceratops, Brachiosaurs, whatever. I've got what's called a Nundisuchus, which is like a crocodile that with longer legs, so it can actually run after you a lot better than a real crocodile
That's
if it wanted
terrifying.
to. But then it's like some people don't even realize there was prehistoric millipedes that were, as long as longer than a pickup truck. And then as soon as they get to those parts, they're going, okay, I now have a new fear of bugs.
That's awesome. I we just talked about that the other day. Like I think it was like Monday with some of my kids. They're like, "Did you know about this?" And I can't remember what they looked up. And because well, we were talking about the creation of myths, right? Like the Kraken or whatever. And I'm like somebody at some point saw something or something happened, right? Whether or not it was a weather related phenomenon, whether it was a creature, whatever, right? Whether it was a identifiable animal that we know today or something different, I just think it's fascinating. So some of them really got on that bug and were like looking stuff up. They're like, "Do you think this could have been a blah blah blah?" And one of my kids was like, "I went down this rabbit hole of dragons. I think they were just seeing dinosaurs that are still around
Could
or
have
whatever."
been,
I'm like,
yeah.
"I don't know." I'm like, it was just absolutely fascinating to me. Yeah, super cool. Yeah,
There's
that's
actually,
awesome.
I believe, a painting from an old medieval era, and I'm pretty sure they actually painted dinosaurs in the picture, which has raised a lot of questions.
Yeah, I just saw something on that recently where they tried to debunk it and say they were elephants. And I'm like, look at that. I'm like, I get art is subjective, but I'm like, don't say a Brachiosaurus. It's like multiple, Like, I think that's fascinating. As a historian, there's times where I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just like, is that really a thing? Yeah, I just think it's actually interesting. No, that's like the other day I was rewatching something for like Loch Ness, and I find it so fascinating because I'm like, is it just like a giant like eel? It's got, I mean, this is nuts. Like there's something that they just came out with recently where they I think it was BBC, I think they did a news segment or something. It must have been from like 2 years ago, I think, because I know it was a little older. But they're like, oh yeah, they're just like somebody was chilling with a drone footage and they were just like looking at like a campground. And all of a sudden someone goes, oh, what is that off the beach a little ways? And there's this like 30-foot long thing just chilling there. And they're like, what in the heck? So I just find it absolutely fascinating. I love cryptozoology. I actually wanted to be a cryptozoologist
Oh, cool.
years ago. I just find that stuff fascinating. As a historian, I'm just like, even just like Bigfoot in general, right? With the Native American like stories or relationship, I think it's just absolutely fascinating.
Have you ever
So you
looked
got
into
to
the
wonder.
Michigan Dogman?
Yeah. Oh, too much.
So I did one a novella with that too, which was
Oh,
actually
that's
it
super
was a
cool.
co-write with my editor.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
That's
that
super
was fun
cool.
because she actually, I remember she'd always talked about this one character she wanted to write and that he was essentially like a spy that got burned. And so I said, well, why don't we have him play with my superhero spies and have them try to take down the Michigan Dogman?
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was actually really fun to write together.
Oh, that's super cool. That's really neat. Coincidentally, I won't say who, but coincidentally, I actually had two friends years ago from college that were from Northern Michigan that swore up and down that they saw the Dogman in Upper Michigan. Yeah, so it was that I was like, what is that? Like this was probably like 2008, And right at that time, like there were like a lot of sightings and stuff. Like it was really interesting. And then that was when like you had a huge spike of people coming forward for whatever reason. It got on the news again. Somebody had seen something weird, and there was like it just started a huge thing. And then somebody had like the song came back, about
Oh,
it.
right.
It was just nuts. Like it was like I'm like, what is this? Like, and it all happened within my. It was like my junior year of college at MSU. Like it all happened at the same time that fall. To spring, like it was absolutely wild, and so I was just like
That's
all
so
over. But
fun.
that's what got me back into cryptozoology. Actually, was actually that and a couple other things. And I thought it was, yeah, it was just absolutely fascinating. But I think that's what's fun about, fantasy, sci-fi, or fantasy, whatever.
Oh, you
It's
can
just
play with
fun
so
to,
much.
yeah. Well, I like that. Yeah, you just play with it, you can put it together, you can take it apart. But I like how you've set up your, this, the series and like book one and stuff, because there's some cool things over here, cool things over here. And it's funny, right? Like everybody thinks dinosaurs have been done to death, but really just have Jurassic Park. It's like, how long ago was Dinotopia? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like,
and
I
we're
feel
still
like
learning about
it's,
dinosaurs. Like they're always constantly finding new ones, you know?
my
They
God, the last
apparently there
6
was
years
one
have
that
been
was just
nuts.
found that was bigger than the T-Rex.
I saw that. Yeah, it's absolutely like
And I'm
wild.
like, how early can I put this in a book? Before they change their studies or whatever.
What about that one that they called it the dragon or whatever, where it's like still had its skin on and stuff? Like, I think is absolutely fascinating. It's always super cool. I think they're just fascinating because you're like, how did something that big, and I don't know, it's like you're trying to wrap your head around it, right? I think that's why Jurassic Park is so cool. And I also think part of that, like, it's terrifying to think, right, that we would not be here if they were still here in mass quantity, right? Like, I think it's, yeah, it's really cool.
Although if the
Well, that's
dinosaurs were
awesome.
still here, I would totally be volunteering to try to ride some. Personally, I would love to fly like on a pterodactyl's back or whatever.
I always love, like, some of my students always bring me, they're like, did you hear about this urban legend about this dinosaur here and this part? I'm like, dude, I've read them all. I'm like, everything you're bringing me. But I always find it funny because I'm like, I had a parent a while back, like 2 years ago, and she's like, Mom, that's all my son does. I go, your son is looking at history. I'm like, essentially, I'm like, your son finds it interesting. I'm like, don't stop him from being a writer or a creative, just because you think it's like a weird thing or whatever. I
This
was
is
like,
good for their brains.
yeah, well, she was really into Harry Potter. I was like, give me a break, like, you think you'd be a little bit more supportive. But yeah, I think it's really cool to explore those kind of things. But that's awesome. Yeah, in terms of, I just think The Ultimate Agent sounds awesome. I think it's cool.
It was a fun series.
I just think that's awesome. Like, I had one of my friend years ago, and I asked him a while back, a couple years ago, I go, can I just like take this original idea and like change it? And he's like, yeah, I don't care. I was like, do you want in on this? He's like, no, I just don't care. He goes, I'll sign whatever paper or whatever. I'm like, okay, so I might go and write a superhero thing too. So when you were saying that, I was looking that up the other day. I was like, oh, that's really neat. So I think that's really cool. In terms of like world building, you already mentioned this earlier, which I think is so cool that, you have these, two series that, really like are within the same world. I think that's just an awesome advertising, way to do it, and just like a cool writing thing for fans. But when it comes to your world building, what did you focus on the most and why?
I think it really comes down to, for my superhero series, the one character of Brett, also known as the Specialist, he found a way with. I actually came up with my own material, kind of like how Marvel has its, vibranium and all that kind of stuff, adamantium. So I have this substance called Galaxidium,
Oh, that's cool.
which I wanted it to have the properties of basically kind of like the space stone in a way. Where there's this energy that Brett was able to hone, which allowed him to teleport. So, if something was happening in some state or different part of the world and they need to go for a mission, you don't have to wait for the jet to show up. You're there. And I kind of took that idea, and as it kept growing throughout my superhero series, I'm like, how do I take this Galaxidium to the next level? And then I kind of came up with the idea of, well, what if there's like, what if this was part of some meteor at some point, or just space debris that landed on Earth, or is deep down in the Earth's crust? And in terms of Dino Rift, and you kind of learn more about this in Primeval Ranch, that because of that, some of it is reacting in different ways. So maybe there's a time rift that just pops open every few days, or every maybe once every 3 years, kind of thing. And what would happen if that stays open long enough for dinosaurs to just walk on through?
Jeez.
So with
That's
Primeval Ranch, I've got the main character named Ernie, who is a widower, and he runs a ranch in Texas near one of the main parks there. And he's kind of living on his own, but he's got these time-displaced dinosaurs on his property. So he's just caring for them. Because to him, every life is, a gift, and treat it with respect. Have responsibility. But there's a part in the finale of Dino Rift where all these time rifts are just popping off like it's chaos. So I thought, why don't I start Primeval Ranch with this young teenage girl named Lucero, biking home, and she ends up going through a time rift, sees the events of the last chapter of Dino Rift before she pops back out and ends up near Ernie's ranch. And then they both realize, okay, this is happening. There's dinosaurs here. Let's take care of them together, like give Lucero some kind of purpose as she's growing up. But then in that book, she loses her mom to cancer. So she spends all her time at this ranch every weekend because she doesn't want to deal with the grief. And I wanted to write stuff that kids can relate to because we all go through different things. And as you know, the news with my dad and everything. So it's funny how that happened after I wrote this book. But I really wanted to show, again, from the YA perspective, how people can understand grief, how to deal with it, how different people deal with it. And yeah, I find that the whole time travel aspect of everything really keeps my whole universe together, which is really fun to play with.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think a lot of times too, it's like hard because I just think like I like so many young adult like subgenres now. Yeah, I think there's just I've talked to so many authors like yourself where I just think it's good that young adults can get such a wide variety of issues, but also again, not have to necessarily always read, like straight fiction and do it. Because it's nice to have an escape. But it's also nice to have that lifeline, right? To like, this is how these people are solving the same type of issue or a similar issue. So, yeah, I think that's, yeah, I deal with PTSD in my Nathaniel Withers series. And I have like J.R. Wise, he's a military veteran. So he's helping me out to, to ensure that, I got my type. I had PTSD, but I'm not a veteran, right? So it's just totally different. And I had a friend like, oh, you had PTSD. I'm like, no, it's not the same, right? Because it's a different type, whether or not anybody wants to classify it, I'm like, two different, like different issues, right? But it's interesting, but like I have write specific things for specific age or a group of ages. But I have a friend, she's doing something similar. Well, again, she has a different type, I would say, right? Or classification or or whatever, a PTSD. From stuff that happened, to her as a kid and stuff. So like each of us is writing, like the same thing, but to a completely different audience, So I just think it's nice that young adult authors are doing this, particularly with indie, I think, because you have such a wide range and you can pretty much do whatever you want to do and make it fun. But I just seen such a wider range of kids reading indie books, which is really cool for fans of sci-fi, if that makes sense. And I'm like, oh, you know that author?
That
They're
makes
like,
me
yeah.
happy.
I'm like, oh yeah. And I like do a lot of, I do a lot of for young adult, I do. Not for maybe some of the other ones. I just kind of whatever, unless I've read them. But young adults more for me. I'm like, oh yeah, Dino Rift or whatever. Even if I haven't read it, because young adults just different than some of the other things, right? Because I've read a couple other indie books. I'm like, glad I did not recommend that to my
Well, there's
friend.
YA, and then there's YA with stuff that really shouldn't be in YA.
Well, that's my kids ask. They go, they're like, what? Because usually I write like PG-13. I said, my current series is probably like the first novel. I was like, there's a little bit more swearing than normal. I go, normally I don't do it in fantasy, but I said it's urban fantasy. I said, and it's like has a particular group, and things in mind. I said this character comes from this background and stuff. So that's a little different. I had a parent ask me, like, oh, blah, blah. I said, maybe wait till my fantasy stuff is out. I said, unless your kid's like my kid at 14 and can handle it and not, whatever. I said there's a lot more adult themes for my urban fantasy than there is like for my fantasy and stuff. So I totally
Yeah,
agree
and
with
that's
that.
true. A lot of different kids do can or have different reading levels or, maturity levels. So yeah,
But that's
yep.
why I always liked the Forgotten Realms personally, because there wasn't like sexual content. There wasn't like swearing. And there was like violence, but it wasn't violence for the sake of violence, like Grimdark, it was like kind of like clean fantasy. Like people died and stuff, but it was like, oh, okay, it's like a video game kind of thing. Like, I don't know. Like I liked how they did that. Dragonlance wasn't, another set of those kind of series. And, sometimes they had one every once in a while would have a more adult theme or something. But I don't know, it was just nice to I think it was more escape fantasy than anything. So Yeah, but it's definitely hard. I have parents sometimes ask me about recommendations for young adult. I'm like, let me tell you after I've read it. And that's just like kind of my thing. So I totally agree
Yeah.
with that. I think it's
I
interesting.
actually I had a meeting with a marketer recently and I had a little bit of insight and she was telling me that there's actually a bit of an uptick in younger generations with kids that are actually looking for more family-friendly content.
I can see
And I
that.
was like, you know what? I can see that because I feel like a lot of stuff now has just become really dark.
Yeah, well, look at Superman. Like, I
Yeah.
love Superman, but I'm like I miss the Batman Superman adventures, you know? Batman too, right? Like everything, that's like everything's gotta be dark now. I'm like, we're trying
Yeah.
to escape the dark.
Yeah.
Why? You know? And that's
Like
like
life
I'm
is
not
depressing
feeling.
already, you know?
Yeah. Like why do I want to see more Marvel and DC that's just like depressing? I'm like, I want to see the heroes, right? Like people want Spider-Man for the, you know, he's dealing with the crap, but he also
Yeah.
gets through it. Like, I want to see how he gets through it, right? And those good times and stuff and those
And I
victories.
think
So
that's why, like, Infinity War really shocked people with the ending, right? Like, I walked out of the theater going, what just happened?
I had a I remember like I literally my buddy and I like went to the gym and then went to see Endgame. Like, we're not prepared. We
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
babies, but you know who dies. I'm sorry,
Yeah.
I won't say it, but
Yeah.
I was like, he was looking at me, you okay? I'm like, I'm fine,
Nope.
bro. I'm like, dude, I'm good. You okay over there? And but I'm like, I agree with you. Like, it was a total different feel, right? It was like, oh, we lost, but we really won, you know, in the long run and stuff. So I don't know. That was both of them were very interesting from a writer
Yeah, but
or
then you got a lot of people saying, hey,
audience.
Thanos was right.
Oof. Yeah.
To a degree.
Yeah. We're studying societies right now. So we have a joint
Oh,
class for BA
yeah.
in history, and we read The Lottery. And then we're reading The Giver with 9th grade. We're reading Hunger Games with 10th grade. And then we're going to do like a joint thing with societies, which should be very, very interesting. But yeah, like the kids were like, oh, in The Lottery. And I was like, and they're like disagreeing and stuff. And I was like, oh, how many agreed with Thanos? And like we
Yeah,
kind of
right.
brought in comics and they were like, oh, that's a good point. And I was like, yeah, it's just kind of interesting to, you know, to ask these questions as a writer. But yeah, it was really cool. Well, that's really neat. Yeah, I think young adult's a good one. I love seeing its expansion over like the last really like 14 years has been like
Yeah,
blowing
true.
up. But I do think indie fantasy, you know, like books like series like yours are really, you know, expanding it to a wide degree, which is really cool. I had a couple other authors on recently who also do some young adult on top of like, you know, other things and stuff that they write. But it's just cool to see. I'm like, I wish I had the, you know, the wide breadth, you know, like I feel like there were only certain things that were young adult back when I was, you know, a young adult. So I think it's cool. And now I'm like, I like it because there's such a wide range where I'm like, I'll read a lot of young adult and I'm like, it doesn't feel like young adult, you know, and
Yeah.
some does, some might feel, you know, closer to middle grade or some might feel more like a adult fantasy or whatever you want to call it. But I do think it's a genre that has become very, very interesting. So.
Don't know if you're similar to me, but I'm to the point where I'm writing the books I wish I had when I was a kid. Which is also kind of a pitch of mine. It's like I
Oh, that's a
wish
good
I
one.
had books like Dino Rift or The Ultimate Agent, to the point where like I have parents that message me going, "Thank you for writing books. I don't have to worry about what my kids are reading." Or they're like, "Thanks for writing books that I can actually talk about with my kids." Which I love that so much. And now I'm getting people messaging me going, "Hey, so I might need to buy a new paperback of yours because my kid has almost destroyed the book from the number of times they've read it." I'm like, "That is awesome. That just made my
That's
entire month."
that's amazing. That's super cool. I do agree with you though. I think that yeah, like I mean I also it's like I'm a teacher, right? Like I had so many amazing adults, like so many. They say it takes like one adult to change your life, right? Like one positive one. I could pick 30 right now, you know, that were just like the best people to be around, you know, that influenced me. And I enjoy doing that for kids. You know, at the end of the day, I know I do something, right? And it's like, but I think it's the same with books, right? It's like, but for me, it's like I had great books that taught me to love reading. So I do like to add things though that they didn't have. I want to give you them, you know, I like clean fantasy personally. Like I'll read whatever, you know, and expand my horizons, but I still love like I've been going back to Forgotten Realms recently just for like clean fantasy and just like just a fun time with D&D stuff, you know. And that's what I like, you know. So that's the stuff that, you know, for fantasy wise, that's what I like to write. I like to write D&D, And it's not
That's
like
fun.
raunchy or whatever, it's just like, or whatever, like that's how some has gotten recently, right? With whatever, like love Critical Role myself, but don't want my kid reading it or, watching it or whatever. So, and that's like one of those things I definitely agree. Like it's nice to be able to give them something that you didn't have. So I didn't consider that before, but that's actually probably a pretty good way to put it. So that's super cool. But that's awesome that you can do that for readership. What a great compliment. Like I need to buy another
Oh,
paper
and it
now.
was like I had someone tell me, yeah, so I'm buying like your whole catalog because my kid has been bugging me to get your entire catalog.
That's awesome.
Like, this is great. And I'm to the point where, like, just because of Book Talk on TikTok and everything, I have created so many great relationships with people to the point where I was able to send books to Japan.
Oh, that's amazing.
I mean,
That's super cool.
she lives on a military base in Okinawa, but she's like, yeah, so I wanted to buy your books. And I'm like, well, I do have a deal on right now. She goes, yeah, I'll buy all of them.
Oh, that's amazing.
And they made it all the way to Japan. I had a really unique time where I actually got to send one to my entire catalog to Australia, Norway, and then the
That's
Japan
cool.
within like a 3 month
Oh, that's awesome. I
span.
hope
And
you're
I was,
doing the map,
oh,
like
I need to buy
controlling
a map
this.
actually and just start scratching it off.
I can't wait to do that. I know that Roland, he does that a lot. Like Steven does that so much on TikTok. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then like Zach does it, ZS Diamante does it too.
Oh,
I just
yes,
think
yeah.
the two of them do it all the time. Like I told my wife, I bought this map actually for my basement. I got to fix my wall up and then put up. She, what are you doing? I'm like, ah, I showed her. She's like, that's so cool. I'm like, it really is really neat. So I think that's
Yeah.
amazing.
The only thing I put
Yeah.
up on my walls is I make my book covers into posters and then I just pop them up. Like
I think you
little
have
once
to,
they're
otherwise,
published, they
like,
go
yeah,
up.
you're like, what? Otherwise, what else are you doing? It's nice in the drugs. Michael Fletcher, I talk about that. It always looks so nice. And he goes, yeah, I literally put him on my way down to my writing cave. So once I get down there, like pumps me up, like I'm like, oh, I did this, 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 and this. So I think that's genius. I'm curious at what scene that you have written. I know it's hard, right? Because
Oh,
it's going to be
you're
spoiler,
making me
but
choose between my favorite kids.
I know it's always my most fun. I don't know why I get so much joy out of it. I just laugh all the time. Yeah, but like, what's the one scene that you've written that like you're like the most proud of? You're like, damn, that was really good.
I would have to say in my Ultimate Agent finale, it was kind of like my version of the endgame battle,
Oh, that's awesome.
where like all the characters that I created, even when it came to the cryptids, like everybody shows up.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I had so much fun writing. Like, you know how Marvel likes to do their one-shot kind of scenes where it doesn't break, but the camera keeps going? I tried doing that in this
Oh,
battle
that's
that
cool.
takes place literally at the White House in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's awesome.
And you've got like Bigfoots that show up. You've got, a couple of Loch Ness monsters that show up at one point. And it's just like chaos, but it was so fun to write because everyone's got their little scene to give them just like that, almost like the Captain America picking up the hammer kind of feel to it. And
Oh
that was
man.
just so much fun to write, having, I gotta say, probably close to 20 characters
Oh, that's amazing.
in that chapter and just trying to keep everything straight. I literally had to like create a map of everything that I wanted to happen. And I
That's
still have that piece of paper with that map on it.
awesome.
And it just like, I know this guy has to be here. They have to meet and be like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Also, thanks for not killing me when you had the chance, or all this stuff. And it's just like, yeah, it was so fun.
That is absolutely amazing. I love that. I love how you drop that on us too. You're like, yeah, last scene of this. Now you got to
Yeah.
buy all
Oh,
the books
yeah.
and read them so you know what I'm talking about and how everybody gets there. I'm like,
Yep.
all
I
right,
just,
well done, sir.
no holds barred.
That is an amazing answer. That's so cool. That's awesome. Well, that I look forward to that. That sounds absolutely amazing. I love cryptids, so that's
Oh,
like
yeah.
definitely going to be my thing now. I know we're wrapping up on time, so I just want to make sure we got enough time. You had some great points you brought up, so I'm like really excited. I'm gonna be really tired by the time I write tonight. But I'm
Yeah, no worries.
excited to take a couple of things that you said. I had some really good sci-fi ideas there, so
There
I'm
you go.
playing with a little fun project right now just to kind of just have fun with writing, if that makes sense at the hard times. So I can't wait. That's awesome. Do you have any news, updates, current projects, anything like that that you can share with us?
So the third book in the Dino Riff series, Primeval Ranch. I am so excited for people to finally read this. It is kind of another love letter to my fans.
That's
Also, just really fun in the fact that I get to show more dinosaurs to the world and show how there's even, well, I'm sure you're going to be showing the thumbnail, but we actually get to see the female main character riding a dinosaur on the
awesome.
cover. And I was just so
That's
happy
cool.
my cover designer was able to find something that was actually royalty free that we could put on the cover of an actual. We actually
That's
found the
awesome.
dinosaur with a saddle
Oh, that's
as a
amazing.
stock photo. I'm like, we need to use this.
Oh, that's
So
amazing.
yeah, I was very excited to finally get this out and just hopefully not have any burnout after this one and just keep going. So I am currently writing a prequel to Dino Rift called Sorcor Origins, which is
Oh,
going to
that's a
be a
cool
lot of
title.
fun going back to see how everything started with Sorcor. And one of
That's
the
awesome.
characters that realizes just how evil they are. So that's another fun project. Other than that, I also have a dystopian that I'm working on that, again, is linked to my universe, but it's actually an alternate dimension.
Oh, that's super cool. That's awesome.
So, yeah, lots of fun stuff down the pipeline.
That's amazing. Isn't it always funny? I always had like I have like several indie authors in a row, and they're like, oh, I only have like three products or, that I'm working on. I'm like, that's a lot of stuff, man. Like, so I just keep pointing out because I think it's so funny that sometimes I had a lot of traditional authors on too, and and I think we forget, right? Like having a book done, but then even just putting the Audible together for it, right? Or the audio is that's a whole nother product, right? Like that's a whole nother beast, and you have to advertise and stuff. So I always find it funny. I always like just to count what people have. It's really they had like two anthologies, a short
Right.
story. I
Yeah.
don't have much going on. I'm like, that's a lot. I have a novella
Yeah.
coming out this year. I'm like, that's like four products. So I think it's so funny. So but kudos. That all sounds really, really awesome. So I think that that is an amazing, amazing time. So now I might have to switch. You just ruined it for me. I had book one for Dino Rift like first, so I might have to go to the other series just because I love cryptids so much. But I'll
There
let
you
you
go.
know before I decide for 2025 because my video, I'm not shooting it till next week. So I still have a couple of books that I'm moving around. So it's gonna be a
There's always a
two-parter
part of
this time.
me, and I don't know if I'm just weird this way, but it's like I published the first Ultimate Agent book in 2017, and when I read it back, there's a part of me that's always cringing. It's like, yeah, this is 7 years ago. I've changed a lot since then. Do I really want to encourage people to read it?
Well, that's the life of an author though, right? Like
Yeah.
George R. R. Martin's talked about that too. He's like, because he wrote for like 24 years before Game of Thrones came out. He's like, just read my Game of Thrones stuff.
Right.
And I think some of his other stuff was actually really good and didn't have a lot of limelight. So, but that's like R.A. Salvatore, Bob, his original series before Forgotten Realms or anything. I still enjoy the books, but it's like two different people. It literally it's like you and me writing, right? It's like two different people. So I don't know, I took that to heart pretty early on, I think. So I think it's interesting, especially the more you publish, right? Like hopefully the better you're getting. And I think that's good that you're like, oh, it's kind of cringy now,
Everybody
right?
knows me as the Dino Rift author, though. Like, people literally
That's
will
fun.
call me, "Hey, it's Dino Derek."
Oh,
It's
that's
not, "Oh,
amazing.
it's not the ultimate Derek, it's Dino Derek." So then
Oh,
people
that's
read
amazing.
Dino Rift series and then they're like, "Oh, you've got a superhero series too?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
Yeah, lean into that. Lean into that swerve there. That's amazing. Lean into the drift, as my friend always says.
Yes.
Which is ironic because he lives in Florida and there's no snow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's really funny. We have to make those t-shirts now for you and send
There
you
you go.
some of those. That's amazing. Well, Derek, thank you so much for coming on. I had a
Well, thanks for
blast
having
talking
me.
to you about your books. Anytime. Now I gotta kind of sort through, see what I want to do. But I have my just so everybody knows, I have my upcoming reading list for 2025. It's my goal list because I'm trying to get back to 52 for next year. I was so close, like right before my summer was like 48 and a half. So next year,
Ooh.
like my year. Yeah, a lot of Audible, right?
Yeah.
I will be putting that video out. So now I gotta decide what I'm gonna put on there for you. I'm hoping to get a lot of spring authors, for those blocks. I'm trying to get at least one book for everybody, kind of accumulated there. And I'm trying to expand my horizons too, because I like to see what people have talked about in terms of this, like my director's cut interviewing people, and then going and actually reading their books. I always get a lot more out of it, not just from a reader standpoint, but from an author standpoint. So
Right.
make sure everybody checks that out. It's gonna be a two-parter. I'll be dropping that at the first of the year. So one of Derek's books is gonna be on there. We'll have to see which one now. But check out that list in the description of those videos, and then you'll see which one Derek is in. I think I have you on my second list actually. Yeah, because it's 20, yeah. So yep. 26 and 26, yeah. So Derek will be on my second part two video for that. So definitely check that out. And you'll see which one of his books I picked to read for 2025.
There you go.
Want to make sure everybody's reading. Every time you're reading or watching something, you're reviewing, or buying those products that you're reviewing them. Every single one of our authors and creators that have come on, that's going to be the number one thing that helps somebody like Derek to get into that algorithm. So please make sure you guys are doing that. Tell your friends about Derek's books. But Derek, other than that, hope you have a great rest of the day. Good
You
luck
too.
writing. And I had a great time. If you need anything else in the meantime, you send it to me, post on the Facebook group, and
Sounds
give it to
good.
me, and I will get it out there. But other than that, my friend, I hope you have a great rest of the day. And I'm sure I'll talk to you soon on social media, my friend.
Cool. And if anyone needs any more convincing to read Primeval Ranch, there is a dinosaur cartel in that book.
That's amazing. And if you don't like a dinosaur cartel, you're probably in the wrong podcast.
Yeah.
Just gonna throw that out there.
As soon as I tell people, they're like, wait, you just said dinosaur and cartel in the same sentence? I'm
Yeah,
sold.
that's amazing. That's super
All
cool. But I look forward to that, my friend. Other than
right.
that, I hope you have a great rest of the day, and I will talk to you soon, Derek. See you later.
Bye.